At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
A warm up from the hello. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Spears, and now part of the VSiN Family of Podcasts. And you've got a special one today, as it is a party in Conference USA. It is Miley Cyrus' favorite conference. We've got our Conference USA preview today. In the second segment, I'm going to be joined by Adrian Broaddus. He does a great job over there in the great city of El Paso, Texas, with 600 ESPN. He does the show Minor Talk that is all dedicated to UTEP basketball. And on top of that, he does a great job taking a look at this conference, a new look conference, as typically there are 14 teams in Conference USA. There are now 11 teams out in Conference USA. So we're going to be looking at all the rosters for all these teams. And then in the final segment, I'm going to give you guys my projector or finish for Conference USA. And here in the first segment, we're going to take a look at betting trends and styles of play out in this wonderful conference, as I do think that you might have a chance at being able to get multiple teams an at-large bid into the NCAA tournament from this conference, because there is a lot of talent. Do not sleep on this league, and do not sleep on the fact that we've got a lot going on in college basketball. So if you've got a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at GNet_41. Keep in mind, letter CM, naming does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way, find an Apple Podcast review. If you're at this podcast, five stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that five-star review. All right, we have done all the formalities. Let's get down to it. Let's take a look at Conference USA, as Conference USA, just year in and year out, has been one of the conferences in which you've got the absolute extremes. Last year, we wound up seeing it. North Texas in the bottom 10 in all of college basketball in terms of possessions per game. Marshall, they're in the top 25 in terms of possessions per game. You've got real tortoises. You've got real hares out there in this conference. Now it's going to be a little bit slower, because Marshall, they are one of the teams that are no longer a part of Conference USA for this season. So that winds up taking them out of the fold. And then I did wind up seeing a couple other teams wind up playing a little bit of a unique style, like Western Kentucky, for example. Western Kentucky, they average 11.3 fouls per game. That was by far the fewest out there in college basketball, but yet they were still relatively up-tempo. They were 85th in all of college basketball in terms of possessions on a per-game basis. You've got the two Florida schools, in which are very interesting. Florida Atlantic, Florida International. Florida International in past years have been playing very much faster, but this last year, 134th in terms of possessions per game, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that they couldn't generate the amount of steals that they have been able to on a year-in and year-out basis. And it's really interesting to take a look at this aspect of it as well, because we've seen it with Conference USA, where there are some teams that they look to really generate a bunch of turnovers, and there are a few teams that have been able to have some success with it. UTEP is currently one of those teams that is looking to be able to do this. We're going to be talking about that a little bit more with Adrian Broaddus over there with 600 ESPN in El Paso in the second segment, because they did bring in Joe Golding. Joe Golding was able to bring Abilene Christian, who wound up winning a game in the 2020 NCAA tournament as part of Abilene Christian. He is looking to be able to do that with UTEP, but we wound up seeing Florida International not be able to necessarily run their defense. But the team that was able to rise up from the state of Florida, that would be Florida Atlantic. 19 wins outside for the second most in conference history. But you are seeing a little bit of a new look conference as well. One of the stalwarts in the conference last year, Kenny Lofton Jr., a.k.a. I always called him the Bartolo Colon of college basketball, because he looked exactly like him. He's out of the fold. And one thing that I will note about this conference is that if you're able to rebound, you're probably going to be in for a relatively solid season. We wind up seeing this with the Blazers of UAB. Now, they did wind up finishing second in the conference. North Texas was also a relatively solid rebounding team. They are going to need to replace their best rebounder in Thomas McBride, but that said, they were able to do a solid job there, and I'll hit on Western Kentucky in a second because they've got a guy who's 7'5" named Jamarian Sharp, who averaged 4.6 blocks per contest. But with that said, Blazers of UAB, they were very solid in terms of being able to hit the offensive glass, a 7-footer Trey Jamison. He was able to do all that. And then on top of that, you've got a guy in Jordan, a.k.a. Jelly Walker, who's able to average over 20 points per contest. And you've got a few teams that, when they are able to generate turnovers, they are some of the best out there in this conference. And you wind up seeing that with UAB. They were in the top 25 in terms of turnovers forced on a per-game basis. They actually won the turnover battle by 4.3 turnovers per contest, and that leads to some games that wind up being a little bit more runouts, and they wind up being very intriguing in general. You need to play a little bit more of a slow style to be able to really defend against that. A team like North Texas certainly was able to do a solid job of being able to do so, but in this conference that it's relatively spread out, you've got a lot of different styles of play. It makes a lot of these betting trends just so interesting in general, because you do take a look at Conference USA. I wanted mentioning it with Florida Atlantic, the fact that they were really able to rise up last season. They were one of your better teams against the spread in this conference, but there was one team that wound up rising above the rest, and it was a team that they didn't necessarily do one thing great, but they were pretty much solid in all aspects. That'd be Middle Tennessee. They wound up having low expectations because things did not wind up going their way out of conference. They wound up dropping their first two games in Conference USA, 26-8-1 against the spread, covering 76.5% of their games. That wasn't just number one in all of college basketball. That was by far number one in all of college basketball. This team was printing money for you all season long, even when their top scorer, Josh Jefferson, was out of the fold. They were able to get the job done. Middle Tennessee was able to cover at home. They were able to cover on the road. They were able to cover in a neutral court setting. Other than their first really non-conference games, this team was rock solid. You did wind up also having one of the slugs out there that is no longer part of this conference, Marshall. 9-20-2 against the spread. You did wind up having Pacific be a little bit worse, but this team was in the bottom 10 in all of college basketball. And for lack of a better term, you really did trim a lot of the fat from this conference, as well as Southern Miss and Old Dominion. They're now out of the fold. Both of these teams won 13-18 against the spread. So among the three teams that wound up leaving the conference, all three, they were in the bottom four in terms of cover rates. So you got a lot of teams that were relatively successful last season. North Texas, Louisiana Tech, both of these teams were able to cover right around 56.5% to 58.5% of their games. But you really didn't have too many teams other than the three that I wound up laying out along with Middle Tennessee really be too much more demonstrative, as you did have a little bit of a disappointing year in Florida International. They went 12-17-1 against the spread. Mentioned it with North Texas and Louisiana Tech. These teams wound up hitting 56.5% to 58.5% of their games, and nobody else really hit north of 56%. Nobody else other than Florida National really hit below 45.2% of their games. But you do take a look at what home court advantage means in this conference, and I mentioned it, it's a very late out conference. You've got teams out there in North Carolina, Alabama, Texas, so it is a very wide reaching conference, and a lot of these teams did really well against the spread at home. Southern Miss and Marshall were two out of the three teams that wound up hitting less than 50% of their games at home against the spread. The other team was UTEP, and UTEP just wound up getting a little bit overpriced towards back half of the season. They went 7-10 against the spread at home. Every other team in this conference that is returning went at least 7-7 against the spread or better. For Atlantic, they were 10-6 against the spread at home. UAB 11-5 against the spread at home, despite the fact that they were consistently laying 15 plus points at home. And then Middle Tennessee 11-2 against the spread at home. Heck, even UTSA was a complete and utter dumpster fire last season. They won just three games in conference. They were able to go 8-6 against the spread at home. Not so much on the road, as you wind up having all these teams hit 35.7% of their games or fewer against the spread on the road. Old Dominion, Southern Miss, Marshall, those three teams are gone. We don't need to worry about them. But Rice, 4-8 against the spread on the road. UAB wound up having some issues, and this is something that we have noticed with the UAB. If they do have a kryptonite, in true road games, they haven't necessarily been so dominant. 3-7-1 against the spread on the road. Florida National, 2-9-1 against the spread on the road. You did wind up having North Texas, and really a lot of the Texas schools in general, be solid on the road. UTSA, 5-7 against the spread on the road. North Texas, 6-3-1 against the spread on the road. A lot of that probably due to their defense, and as we know, defense travels. UTEP, 8-5 against the spread on the road. So I thought that was interesting to take a look at them when it comes to totals. North Texas is always one of your most fascinating teams in all of college basketball because they play so stinking slow, but they're a team that they do a relatively solid job of being able to hit some threes. But North Texas, once again, one of the best teams of the under last year. They wound up playing out of their 30 games, 10 to the over, 19 to the under, and they wound up having one push thrown in there as well. So they were able to make you a whole bunch of money if you were taking a look at their very low totals to the under. And as a matter of fact, for our good friends, the Mean Green of North Texas, they were in the top 20 of all of college basketball in terms of under rate. You really didn't have too many teams that were very demonstrative in terms of over and under rate, because you do have quite a few fast teams, you do have quite a few slow teams, but the one team that really does stand out, UAB. 22 overs, 10 unders, and a push. And a lot of this is because UAB, they've got a solid defense, but a lot of times they turn that defense into offense. They were able to be terrific in terms of being able to put the ball in the basket. Charlotte is a team that they wound up being very tremendously over. And as a matter of fact, the only team other than North Texas to play north of 50% of their games to the under, that's a team that's no longer in the conference, in Marshall. You do wind up having quite a few teams like Rice, Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee, UTSA, Old Dominion, Saugon, and UTEP all be between 50 and 52% to the over in terms of their ratio. But I mean, with that said, for Charlotte, 19 overs to 12 unders, a very slow team that played no defense whatsoever. Florida Atlantic, they were able to get things popping with regards to their three-point shooting. They wound up playing it with 18 overs, 12 unders, and a push. And you take a look at what wound up happening in conference play, because you do have a conference that is full of, shall we say, interesting teams. And you did wind up seeing more teams wind up playing to the under in conference play, as you wind up having five teams wind up hitting over 50% of their games to the over. But you did wind up seeing, I believe, seven teams wind up hitting over 50% of their games to the under. So once we wound up getting into conference play, things wound up getting ironed out. But you did have three teams that really just carried the flag in terms of over rate. Southern Miss, no longer in the conference. And I mean, good riddance to them. They were 1-17 in conference play last season. I mean, it was a skid mark on the underpants of Conference USA. But Florida Atlantic, 14 overs, 5 unders, and a push in conference play. UAB, 15 overs, 5 unders, and a push in conference play as well. And then you wind up having North Texas be your main outlier with regards to under rate. They wound up playing 65% of their conference games to the under. Everyone else, 55% or less. So you've got a conference in which it's full of a lot of teams that wind up playing a lot of different styles. It's very much spread out. That winds up lending a lot of an advantage to the home team. So one of the just most fascinating conferences in general to take a look at, in my opinion. I think that this is really a great conference. And joining me to be able to break down this great conference next, take a look at the few coaching changes that we've seen, and be able to do a deep dive on all these rosters, that'd be Adrian Broaddus. Does a great job over there with 600 ESPN in El Paso. We're going to be chatting with him next right here on Coast to Coast Heaps with myself, Greg Heaps Pierce, and now part of the Beeson Family Podcast, the Conference USA Preview Edition.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Maui, Hawaii, for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops here. So now part of the VSiN Family Podcast, and great to be joined by our guest. As this man I know has joined me a few times to be able to take a look at Conference USA, and he does a great job over there at 600 ESPN El Paso. He does the show Minor Tech that is dedicated to the Utah Miners, one of the best guys at being able to cover not just the Utah Miners, but in general, Conference USA. And well, it's going to be a little bit of a new look for him in the coming years because Conference USA is going to be relying quite a bit. The American is going to be relying quite a bit and is going to lead to a lot of changes. But Adrian is doing a great job of being able to roll with the punches and to be able to follow Adrian Broaddus on Twitter. Easy enough. Adrian Broaddus, first and last name. Last name is spelled Broaddus. And Adrian, it is great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Greg, thank you so much, man. So excited to do this. Excited to talk college hoops in the month of July.
I mean, we could probably do like an hour-long conversation about how realignment is going to be changing all these teams because we're going to have a bunch of teams heading over to the Sun Belt. We're going to have a bunch of teams heading over to the American. You're going to have a few stragglers that are going to be remaining in Conference USA. So that is certainly something that I'm sure that you're going to be talking about all season long. But first things first, let's talk about the team that you cover. That would be the Utah Miners. And it was an interesting first year under Joe Golding. I felt like the team wound up having some success. They were able to play in a postseason tournament last year. And you could tell that it was a UTEP team that they wound up slowing down a little bit. They did wind up doing a solid job on defense. But now, how is the team going to be looking without having Sule Boom, who is really the top scorer for this team? Because I think that's the biggest question mark that winds up facing them, losing their top scorer from last season.
Yeah, this is back-to-back years, Greg, where they've lost their leading, or their best player, I should say. Sule Boom has led them in scoring for the past two seasons, but two seasons ago was Bryson Williams, who was their best player, no doubt about it. And he ends up at Texas Tech. He has a lot of success last year. Sule Boom probably follows suit in entering the transfer portal. So your question is everybody's million-dollar question right now. How is UTEP going to live without the likes of Sule Boom and some of the other veterans that they had from the previous coaching staff? I'm talking about Jamal Bienemy, Keontae Kennedy, Titus Verhoeven, losing a lot of those guys this year to the transfer portal and to, in Jamal Bienemy's case, to pro ball aspirations. So UTEP has retooled in a big way when it comes to the transfer portal. They capitalized with some, key players like Southern Miss transfer Tay Hardy, who's coming off an injury, but he could score on all levels, and he's somebody who I've got my eye on in a big way. I'm also looking at somebody in Shamar Givens. He's coming from Evansville. He's a sharp point guard, and he has a great basketball IQ. He can also score and facilitate, so I really like what he brings. And then to kind of round out the backcourt, got Malik Zachary, along with some other incoming players like Mario McKinney Jr. But I look at Malik Zachary as somebody who has something to prove this year, a Division I bounce back from the University of Buffalo, and he's somebody who I'm definitely looking at this year as somebody who could maybe take that point guard role and really run with it. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a really interesting season, Greg. It's a team full of guys with a lot of chips on their shoulders, guys with a lot of things to prove, and UTEP wants to win. They want to be a winning program, and I think this is going to really be that first year where Joe Golding tries to cement that in Conference USA.
Yep, I do think that UTEP is going to be in still for a relatively solid year. To your point, Tay Hardy, someone that comes over from Southern Miss, he should certainly be able to help out in the backcourt. Someone like a Che Evans, if he's able to live up to aspirations, because he just didn't wind up getting a lot of playing time in San Diego State, I think that these could be some very solid players. And then another team out there in the state that is in Conference USA, that'd be UTSA. Unfortunately, I can't say that they've got the same aspirations. They wind up bringing in one guy in Carlton Lingard, who winds up coming in from Kansas State. He's a seven-footer that should be able to help this team out a little bit, but ever since they wound up losing that dynamic duo from a few seasons ago out there in the backcourt, certainly has been a little bit of tough sledding for this team. And I tell you right now, Javon Jackson along Keaton Wallace are not going to be busting through that door for UTSA team that was 3-15 in conference play. And I think for the Roadrunners, probably going to be in for another rough season.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Greg. It is going to be one of those weird basketball seasons. Randy Towner is going to help them out. He's their newest strength and conditioning coach, and I think that was the biggest thing that they emphasized over the offseason, that they want to be tougher. And Steve Henson, their head coach, he took a lot of flack throughout the season for some of their inefficiencies last year. You know, they're losing significant players. Jordan Ivey Curry was one of my favorite players to watch, and then he enters the transfer portal, still, you know, kind of uncertain as far as what his future really looks like, but he's a really dynamic guard, and they won't have him come back, at least as of now. And you know, UTSA is just kind of in a weird place right now. Their football program is excelling, and their basketball program just can't seem to get over the hump. So I'm not sure what to make of this UTSA basketball program. I'm with you as far as, you know, us being unsure as far as their future.
It certainly was a little bit of a tough one. And good point on UTSA football. They actually got ranked in the top 25 last season. They wound up having a really big season, and Southern Miss going to look to take the next step forward this season, as Adrian Broaddus does a great job over there at 600 ESPN out there in El Paso, is joining me on the podcast. And I also think it's going to be interesting to see what we wind up getting out of this team, as well as Middle Tennessee State. Last year, in terms of my side, the betting side of things, they were one of the best teams in all of college basketball. They wound up coming from out of nowhere. With that said, they did wind up suffering a few injuries towards back half of the season. Josh Jefferson was out of the fold. And even without Josh Jefferson, this was still a team that they were able to do a very solid job in their CBI tournament, one of the more, shall we say, ancillary postseason tournaments out there. And for Middle Tennessee, what they were able to do was they were able to play some solid defense. They very nearly knock off UAB in the conference tournament as well. And I take a look at Middle Tennessee, they're going to be suffering a few losses from last season, but a lot of the core pieces from a season ago, they are going to be back. And this was really a whole is greater than the sum of its parts team that I think, once again, going to be very competitive out there in this conference.
You and I talked last year about Kenneth Lofton Jr. from La Tech. If Middle Tennessee had beaten UAB in that triple overtime game in the Conference USA tournament, we might have been talking about Kenneth Lofton Jr. being a household name in the NCAA tournament, which we were robbed of. He never got that opportunity because, you know, UAB goes on to the Conference USA finals and then beats out that team in Louisiana Tech. And you know, this Middle Tennessee team was so tough last year, and everybody wrote them off, including myself. I love their head coach, love their nucleus, love the fact that they're just a tough team. This is a team that when you go up against them, they could be going through a losing streak. I look at how they started the month of January last year at 9-6. They completely turned around their entire season, and they dropped their first two games at Conference USA, and after that, they won 11 of their next 12 games in the conference, including wins against teams like Old Dominion, the Miners in UTEP, of course, Western Kentucky, and then both times in Western Kentucky, both at home and away. So Middle Tennessee, I'm very bullish on. I have high expectations for this team, and I think they'll run it back in a positive way this year.
And I'm so glad that you mentioned Louisiana Tech, because this is one of the most new-look teams out there in the conference as well, because Eric Conkle, who did a very good job of being able to coach up that team, he is gone. It's now Talvin Hester that winds up taking over the program. Now, he did a very good job of keeping a lot of the guys that were on the roster last year and keeping them in-house, but Kenneth Lofton Jr., he wound up being able to blow up at the combine this season, so he decided to go pro. But with that said, a lot of the backcourt is going to be returning. Keyson Willis, he's back after being a very good sharpshooter for this team. They wind up bringing in Trevon Mangum. He was someone that was at Radford, 6'8", little bit of a combo player, should be able to help out this team. And then they also wind up returning someone like a Kobe Williams, who's able to help out in the backcourt as well. I take a look at Louisiana Tech, and I think that it's very fair to say that this team is going to take a little bit of a step down from Kenneth Lofton. But that said, even though you do wind up having a first-year coach in Hester, I think that he did a good job of being able to keep a lot of camaraderie with this team, which should keep them very competitive out in this conference.
I think they're going to be extremely, extremely competitive. I think Kobe Williams is going to be one of the best guards, if not the best guard in the league this year, along with somebody that we didn't get a chance to see that much last year because he was injured, Isaiah Crawford. What would have happened if Isaiah Crawford had been healthy last year with a healthy Kenneth Lofton Jr. and this entire nucleus, the previous head coach in Conkle? And Keyson Willis is a fine player as well. I really like what he brings to the table. It could be interesting if they don't take a step back and if they have more success this season. So I'm excited to see this team. I have some pretty good expectations for this group as well. And while the West part of Conference USA, the West Division, is going to be very competitive, I think La Tech surprised a lot of teams.
I agree with you. As Adrian Broaddus does a great job over there at 600 ESPN in El Paso, he is going to be right here on the podcast. And then another team that, well, it should come as no shock that we think that they're probably going to be pretty competitive. That'd be Western Kentucky. They were the best team in all of college basketball and not fouling, 11.3 fouls per game. And Davion McKnight was Mr. Do-It-All. 16 points, 5.5 boards, 5.5 assists, nearly 2 steals per game. He had at least 13 points in 17 out of his last 18 games. And Jarius Hamilton, he is back as well. 6'8" wing player. Saw a little bit of a dip in his 3-point shooting last season, but still solid. But 7'5" Jamarian Sharp, if he sounds like a very tall player, well, he's the tallest player in all of college basketball and had 4.5 blocks per game last season. They bring in Christian Lander from Indiana, Deontay Allen from Kentucky. You also have Josh Anderson, who was one of the top players in terms of steals per game last season, with Zion Harmon, perhaps the best freshman recruit in the entire conference coming in. I think that Western Kentucky in for a very big year.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this team, and it's all around McKnight. I mean, I was told a couple years ago, keep an eye out for this guy. McKnight is fantastic, and the fact that he stayed with Western Kentucky really tells you a lot about this team, the nucleus that they built. I think they've got a sour taste in their mouth after finishing 19-13 last year, and head coach Rick Stansberry, he expects more out of this group, and you know, I think that you're going to see a lot more out of this program this upcoming season. I'm excited about the Hilltoppers. I feel like they're a contender in the East Division a Conference USA, and if it's not Middle Tennessee, it's probably Western Kentucky who runs away with it.
Yep, and when it comes down to it as well, with the Blazers of UAB, my goodness, this team is just completely loaded. School record 27 wins last season. They bring back Jordan Jelly Walker. He had 20.5 points, 4 assists, steal and a half per game shot, 39.5% from 3, 88% at the free throw line. 7-footer Trey Jameis said he's able to give you 7.5 rebounds per game. They bring in the Brewer brothers, who they did a solid job out there in the SoCon last season as well. Tavon Loven, he's out there in the backcourt. I mean, when you take a look at it, it's hard to not have UAB towards the top of not just Conference USA, but in terms of mid-major college basketball, this should be one of the best teams in all of college basketball, and legitimately, I think that this could be a top 25 team when it's all said and done.
I totally agree with you, man. I feel like what Andy Kennedy has been able to do with UAB is outstanding. And you know, you never want to say something where he is coaching for his next job. He probably will be. You're probably going to see him take that next big job. And it will be tough for him to leave his alma mater in UAB. I just really commend his way, the way that he built this team. It was through the transfer portal, not fazed by people leaving the program, gets just a superstar player in Jelly Walker. And I love what Jordan Walker was able to do last year, the nickname of Jelly, and how that got everybody excited. UAB is a team that, yeah, I totally agree with you. They should run away with Conference USA, especially the West Division, unless North Texas has something to say about that. UAB is an outstanding program. I expect them to win Conference USA and not be a 12th seed this upcoming March Madness, but I expect them to be, you know, maybe a 10th seed or a 9th seed, depending on how they shake up. I'm really, really high on this UAB squad.
And you mentioned them, North Texas, a team that year in and year out, they've got one of the most consistent styles in all of college basketball, and that they play really stinking slow. They've been in the bottom 15 in terms of possessions per game each out of the last 3 seasons. They did wind up losing a few pieces from last year, most notably Thomas Bell, but Tyler Perry, over 40% on his 3-point shooting. He was more of a sixth man last season. They've got Abdul Usman, who's going to be coming back after last year. He averaged 10.6 rebounds per game as a starter. And, I mean, final 19 games of the season, he was really able to take over as well. And I do like the fact that they've got Tyree Edie coming in from North Dakota State, right around 11 points, 5.5 boards, 2.5 assists per game as well. Certainly a little bit of a new-look team as well, but Kai Huntsberry, one of the better D2 players in all of college basketball coming in from Mary. He was able to put up 19.5 points per game. And I take a look at this North Texas team. I don't think that they're on the same level as UAB, but there aren't a lot of teams in mid-major basketball that are, and I expect another good 20-plus win season from North Texas.
I do, too. They're also kind of like Western Kentucky, very disappointed in how they wrapped up last season. They lose their final game to UTEP, and that was a weird loss. I think it kind of rattled them in an interesting way. You say a major loss is Thomas Bell. I really appreciate what Bell did throughout the season, and when I saw him in person, I may have not seen it all kind of come together, so I actually am really high on Tyler Perry. I think that he was actually one of their best players, if not the best player. And I get it. He comes off the bench and he kind of ignites your team at times, but I really like him. I'm interested to see how he plays in this new role. Usmane is somebody who can grab so many rebounds, helps you out both on the offensive and defensive side. So I like him a lot as well. And just the way that they bowed out in the second round of the Conference USA tournament to La Tech, just wasn't really impressed with the way that North Texas wrapped things up. But they've got an excellent head coach in Grant McCaslin. He's also, you know, rumored left and right to be interviewing and up for other jobs. I wouldn't be surprised if he takes another job, and I wouldn't be surprised to see North Texas be that dark horse team this year in Conference USA, despite not having the kind of talent like UAB or those kinds of teams.
Yep, there certainly is a style in place and just a consistency with that coaching staff that you always know that North Texas is going to play some great defense. They're always going to slow the game down, but there's more question marks with this team. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Adrian Broaddus, does a great job with Miner Talk being able to cover the UTEP Miners. And for Charlotte, it's a team in which it's going to be looking much different than last season. They wind up bringing in Montre Gibson, who was able to be a double-digit scorer at Tarleton State. They also wind up bringing in someone like an Igor Milicic. He winds up coming in from Virginia, but a lot of the key pieces from last season for the Charlotte team, they are going to be out of the fold, so it is going to be a bunch of which they're going to be new look. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Ron Sanchez, I feel like we've sort of been waiting for him to be able to bust out, and now he's going to need to do so without Jameer Young. But I do take a look at the Charlotte team. I like the additions that they wind up bringing in. Question is, can they play better defense than last season? Because that was really the kryptonite.
Yeah, it was. I expected more out of this team last year. Kind of a disappointing year under Ron Sanchez. And, they finished 17-14. This 49ers team just kind of falls short of expectations. You know, it feels like Jameer Young has been with that squad forever. And I don't know if they're going to get over this hump. I don't know what the future is like for Charlotte. I still kind of feel like on paper, they're still a middle of the pack team, kind of like how they finished last year in the East. And maybe that's enough for the 49ers. Maybe they're satisfied with kind of being a middle-of-the-pack East team in Conference USA. But when you look at the future for Charlotte, they're heading over to the American Athletic Conference in a couple of seasons, actually just next season. So I look at Charlotte, and I think that they are going to need to make some strides this year in order to try to compete in the AAC next year.
I completely agree with you. And a team that I really feel like needs to take some strides forward as well is Rice. I remember we were on this podcast last year, and both of us were relatively high on this team. They just did not wind up taking that next stride forward, and they've actually got a lot of experience coming back. Max Fiedler, someone who's 6'11" and a good passer for being 6'11", he's going to be back in the fold. Quincy Oliveri, Travis Eby, these two guys are back out there in that backcourt. And Eby, a transfer from VMI, one of the better sharpshooters that you're going to find in mid-major college basketball. But the question is, what are you going to be able to get around Fiedler down low? Because the problem for Rice has been in recent years really that defense. And once again, it wound up rearing its ugly head last season, and the team just could not play enough defense to be able to be competitive out there in Conference USA.
You hit it right there. Defense was their biggest issue. I just didn't like how many, you know, two-point attempts that they let go, especially inside the paint. I think when it comes to somebody like Max Fiedler, he's, in my opinion, one of the best big men you're going to find in Conference USA. Just the way he plays, and he's not a true five. He's more of a true four, and he kind of plays out of position at times, and I think that's when they struggle the most. So I want to see Fiedler, and it might not be him. I just want to see the coaching staff put him in a better position to where he's not having to be this like paint enforcer down low, but he's able to still show what he could do by guarding other teams forwards and displaying what he could do as far as rebounding and scoring. Like that is what Max Fiedler does best, rebound and score the basketball. And I feel like you just have to maximize those two big things that he can do, and then the Owls will turn things around. But I'm with you, Greg. I was very disappointed in how they wrapped up last season, and we were we thought that this might be an up-and-coming team, but just fell way short of expectations last year.
Yes, they certainly did. And we go from one pair of owls that wound up disappointing last year to a pair of owls that I honestly felt like had a relatively solid year. That would be Florida Atlantic. They were a team that they were able to do a relatively solid job on defense. And the question we had with them was a three-point shooting. Well, you had Elijah Martin and Michael Forrest do very much a solid job of being able to hit those threes. I believe that as a collective, they wound up attempting right around 13.5 threes per game. And both of these guys are back. Brian Greenlee is able to dish out the ball. He is going to be returning as well. I think that they need a little bit more down low from someone like a Giancarlo Rosato. But that said, this is a Florida Atlantic team that they've got a very good backcourt. If someone like a Vladislav Guldin, who's 7'1", why is it coming in from Texas Tech a few seasons ago, is able to give this team some rebounding, I think that they could surprise some people out there in this conference.
I do too. You know, I like this coaching staff. I think Florida Atlantic has always shown that they're a tough out. And I think this past season in 2022 was really their first year where they kind of, you know, they took a little bit of a step forward. And I think that's what everybody had been waiting for. They lose to UAB in the Conference USA tournament, but they put up a good fight all year long. And I think that this team is a group that can really take a step forward. And I also think that this is a group that you cannot count out the fact that this will be their last season in Conference USA. They're looking ahead to what's to come in the AAC. Florida Atlantic has a ton of money as far as their athletic department. Why not Florida Atlantic wrap up their time in Conference USA by making a big run in the postseason and maybe in the Conference USA tournament? This is a team where if you set the over-under for their total wins at 19.5, I'm taking the over, Greg. I am.
I do think so as well. And then when it comes to the other school out there in the great state of Florida, Florida International, it was a rough year for them. You could tell that they wound up missing quite a bit from those teams that were just so dynamic in being able to generate some seals. But I love what they've been able to do here in the transfer portal. Nick Gadarama, he's going to be coming in from New Hampshire. 6'5", Mr. Do-It-All. He's going to give you a double-figure amount of points per game. He's going to give you some rebounds, does a relatively solid job down low. The guy that I'm really intrigued by, though, how about the D2 transfer in John Williams? Williams last season at Glenville State, he put up over 24 points per contest. Someone that only shot right around 30% from three, so very much a volume scorer, but also wound up having nearly 4 assists, 8.5 rebounds per game, one of the better players that you wound up seeing outside of the D1 level. And for Florida International, I think the big key for them, getting back to the sound defense that they were playing a few seasons ago, being able to generate those turnovers, because it just brought to a lot of these Conference USA teams a dynamic that they weren't seeing from others out in this conference.
Yeah, this is a weird program because this is a program who feels like they were left out when it came to all the conference reshuffling. This is kind of like a UTEP situation. They're the only Florida school who will be in Conference USA out of Florida ranks. I mean, you could look at a team, you know, there will be some teams that are kind of in the general vicinity, but no, this is kind of a weird situation that the whole entire athletic department is in with FIU, and maybe the basketball team can help, you know, spark some interest across the board. I think my biggest knock with this group is that, you know, they lose Tevin Brewer. That was somebody who I really, really liked. He enters the transfer portal. I know he was just 5'8", but he was just a really, really sharp player for the Panthers, and they lose somebody like him. He leaves the Conference USA. I'm not sure what to make of this group. I think they lack a little bit of an identity when you kind of put all their players together. I do think that they could have a chance to finish middle of the pack, but I would probably take they're under as far as win totals if it's set at about 15.5.
Yep, it certainly is probably going to be a little bit of a rough case for this team. If they're able to just get back to that style of being able to generate quite a few steals, I think that it could be successful for them, but I don't know if they've got the personnel to do it. And Adrian, typically we've got a few other teams to be able to cover in terms of Conference USA, but as we know, realignment is running rampant. I know that over there at 600 ESPN out there in El Paso, you're talking about this and so much more because college football season is on its way. I know that you do a great job of covering both Conference USA along with the minors, and I'm sure that you're going to be talking about some new rivalries in recent years as well. And I know that you do a great job of just being able to cover the college sports landscape in general. So let the good people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Four new teams coming into Conference USA, Jacksonville State, Liberty, New Mexico State, and Sam Houston. So we'll have some new teams to talk about next time we get a chance to chat about Conference USA hoops, Greg. But everybody could check us out at 600ESPNElPaso.com. We've got content up on our website daily, and we also have a podcast, 600 ESPN El Paso, wherever you get your podcast, called Sports Talk and Minor Talk. So daily podcast is Sports Talk. We cover local and national news. And then for our Minor Talk podcast, that's our post-game show after every single UTEP game. So again, Greg, I really, really appreciate all your hard work and all the time today, and love talking hoops in July.
Me too. It is always a lot of fun. And with Conference USA, it certainly is going to be a very interesting conference to talk about in future years as well, because the teams that we talked about today, well, some of those teams, they are not going to be here next year. And as it was mentioned by our good friend Adrian, there's going to be some new teams to take a look at for the 2023-24 season. Very much a fluid conference, but it is going to be a fun one, and Adrian does a great job of being able to cover it. So a big thanks to Adrian Broaddus for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast I give you my projector or finish for what is going to be pretty much a one-off year for Conference USA with these teams.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hughes, and now part of the VSiN Family and Podcast. Big thanks to Adrian Broaddus. He does a great job over there with 600 ESPN in El Paso, and the man does a great job being able to take a look at everything that we're getting out there in Conference USA. It's a Conference is seeing a lot of realignment. I mean, this year the conference wound up going from, I believe it was 14 teams, now down to 11. We're going to be seeing more teams added and more teams departing next season as well. So very much a fluid conference, which is why I wound up having to do this a little bit out of order. But Adrian does a great job being able to keep things all together. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you my projector finish for Conference USA. And as per usual, because I am doing a conference preview today, when it comes to the podcast I'm going to be doing tomorrow, it is going to be one of those cases in which anything that I wanted missing in terms of news and notes of college basketball from Friday, I'm going to be polishing those up tomorrow. So have no fear there. I do wind up having you guys covered on that front, but how about if we wind up going with dead last in my projector to finish for this conference, and that would be Meep Roadrunners, as unfortunately for UTSA, even though they've got the best mascot out there in this conference, boy, it is gonna be rough for them. Just take a look at this UTSA roster. They returned darn near nobody from last season that was able to be a legitimately good player for them. Now, Jacob Germany, he's able to give you a double-figure amount of points per game, so he's going to be able to help out a little bit down low. So I do think that that is going to be able to help them out a tad, but you just take a look at the talent in this conference compared to what this UTSA team has, and I mean, they weren't good at being able to shoot threes to start with, and all the guys that were able to bury threes for them to start with last season, all these guys are now out of the fold and gone. So that's not necessarily a place where you want to be if you are UT San Antonio. Germany, 15 points, 7.5 rebounds per game. They're going to need Eric Kuzumbel, who wound up giving the team right around 4.5 points, right around 2.8 assists per game, to be able to help out this team in the backcourt. And they do have Lachlan Bofinger back. He wound up averaging right around 5.6 points per contest, so he was able to do a little bit of something. He was able to see a couple of starts, but you wind up having Cedric Alley Jr. become ineligible towards the second half of the season last year, with really your lone transfer being Carlton Lingard, 6'11" gentleman that comes in from Kansas State and didn't wind up putting up a lot at Kansas State. Tough state of affairs. So in my projector of finish and number 11, it is going to be UT San Antonio, the Meet Me Bro Runners, as we go to number 10 in my projector of finish. And I do think that it's also going to be a long year for Rice as we give our Odelane Kiffin go else. Now, the good news for them is that they do have Max Fiedler back in fold, and Max Fiedler is someone that's able to be very versatile for this team, and he was able to put up some nice numbers once again last season, as he was able to give the team right around 3 assists per game. And I do think that it is really big that you've got a guy like that that is able to have good versatility down low, 9.5 points, right around 7.5 rebounds per game as well. But you do wind up losing your top scorer in Carl Pierre as well, 15.5 points, 4.7 boards per game, someone that from three-point range, he shot over 40% from three. Now, Travis Evie's back, shot 38% from three, right around 83.5% the free throw line, 13.5 points per contest, but you lose Riley Abercrombie as well. He was not in conjoinment with Fitch as well. He was someone that was winding up standing right around 6'9"-ish, was able to do a solid job of being able to shoot some threes. And when it comes to this Rice team, you just don't wind up bringing in a lot via the transfer portal as well. That is where a lot of the talent with guys like Evie and company have been coming from. So Rice is going to need to look to some of the guys on the roster to be able to step up, and I just don't know if they necessarily have a lot of it. And this is a Rice team that year in and year out, they've just been in the bottom 75-ish in terms of points allowed on a per possession per game. They do wind up bringing in someone like an Alem Husevich. He winds up coming in from Nevada, a little bit of a 6'4" combo player, along with Siri Lewis, who winds up coming in from Kansas State. But neither of these guys were necessarily highly touted guys. Neither of these guys, I really think, are going to be able to come in and make too much of a difference for this program. So I do think that it's going to be another relatively long year for Rice. I do end up having them at number 10 in my projector finish as a result. At number 9, I'm going to be going Florida International. This is another team that they just don't have a lot on the roster, and Florida International could easily be number 10 on this list as well, but with Florida International, I'm going to gamble on the fact that they do wind up bringing in some relatively solid prospects, as you do have a guy in John Williams at Glenville State. He was able to put up north of 20 points per contest each of the last two seasons. 6'4" gentleman that doesn't necessarily shoot it well from three-point range, but is just a walking bucket in general. They wound up being the beneficiaries of a couple guys that wound up leaving the America East as well. Austin Williams is a certified bucket getter that comes in from Hartford. He was able to do a nice job being able to give the team right around 16 points per contest, put in their 3.5 assists per game. Not a great three-point shooter once again, and that's really going to be an MO for Florida International. And if Florida International is going to want to have success, they need to generate some seals. And you know what, Austin Williams, 1.3 seals per game at a defense-oriented team in 2 years ago that made the NCAA tournament in Hartford, so that's going to be able to help them out a bit. And then you've got Nick Gadarama. He winds coming in from New Hampshire, and when he was at New Hampshire last season, was a little bit down from his numbers, honestly, 2 years ago, right around 12.5 points, 5.2 rebounds per game, but was still able to give the team 2.5 assists, a steal per game. 2 seasons ago, shot right around 34% from 3-point range as a 6'5", a little bit of a combo player, so that should be able to help out this Florida International team. They do wind up losing Tevin Brewer from last season. That is certainly going to hurt them, as he was a very solid scorer for this team with right around 15 points per contest, so that does wind up putting them behind the eight ball a little bit. And I do believe that Eric Lovett, who wound up being able to give the team right around 9.5 points per contest, he is going to be out of the fold as well. You were hoping for a little bit more last season out of Cloven Brown. That was a little bit of a failed experiment. Victor Hart, he winds up leaving in the transfer portal as well, but you do have a little bit of base with this team, and with some of these guys that were maybe riding the bench last season, being able to observe, be able to just practice with these guys, and I do think that they wind up picking up the defensive style a little bit of Jeremy Ballard as well. And when Ballard seems to have had success, they've been able to generate some steals. I do think that they're going to be able to do that once again here. So I do have a little bit of faith that this team is going to be better than our good friends over there at Rice. So at number 9 in my projector finish, I'm going to be going with Florida International. At number 8 in my projector finish, I'm going to be going with the UTEP Miners. Now, with UTEP, the good news is they bring in a lot of talent via the transfer portal. The bad news is they bring back darn near nobody. Jamari Sibley, who wound up putting up 5 points, 4 rebounds per game. He is the only player that is returning from last season that averaged more than 2 points per game for this team. Now, he's a 6'7", a little bit of a combo player. He is a relatively solid player, and he is going to be able to get some help down low. 6'7", Calvin Solomon. He's coming in from Stone Cold Steven F. Austin, was able to give the team a little bit over 9 points, 5.8 rebounds, 1.7 steals, and a block per contest. And Joe Golding, he's going to take with him what he wanted doing at Abilene Christian, in which he's going to look to just generate some turnovers. He wound up seeing that last season as the Miners cracked the top 50 in terms of turnovers for us on a per possession basis, and each of their top three scorers had at least 1.6 turnovers per contest. They do bring in Tay Hardy as well. In a small sample size last season, 13.5 points, 1.7 steals per game, shot 38.5% from 3-point range in 2 seasons ago, had 11 points per contest. Mark Givens should be able to give out the ball for the team as well. 13.5 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, steal and a half per game at Evansville last season. And Jonathan Dos Anjos, he was a top 50 JUCO recruit according to JUCORecruiting.com. But you just take a look at this team, just a bunch of new parts in general. They're not going to be able to do necessarily a great job on the glass, in my opinion. They don't necessarily have supreme shooting as well. I do think that it's going to be a little bit rough for UTEP, and I could see UTEP being a team in which they have a rough first half of the season. They wind up getting a little bit better as these transfers wind up being able to get a little bit more chemistry and camaraderie, but that said, I do think that it's going to be a certainly a minimum rough first half of the season for this team, so that is why I do wind up having our good friends the Miners at number 8 in my projector or finish. At number 7, we're going to be going with the 49ers of Charlotte, and it all comes back to the defense with this team. They do wind up bringing in some guys that are able to put up some buckets, as Montre Gibson. He was the top scorer at Tarleton State each of the last 2 seasons. He was able to give the team 15 points per contest last season, but saw his 3-point shooting percentage go from 50% during the 2020-21 season down to closer to about 30% last season. I gotta think that it'll probably be more like a mid-30s 3-point shooter this season, so that is something to take a look at. Robert Braswell, he is going to be back from last season, and with Braswell, he was able to put up some relatively solid numbers. I do think that he's going to need to work on his defense a little bit, because this is a guy that stands 6'8", and he did not wind up pulling in like any rebounds whatsoever last season, as in 8.2 points, was able to shoot it solidly from 3-point range, as right around a 6'7", 6'8" combo player from Syracuse, shooting 41% from 3 and 94% at the free throw line, but 1.4 rebounds per game to show for it. That's not necessarily amazing. Now, Ali Khalifa really was able to turn himself into a nice player towards back half last season. Conference USA Rookie of the Year last year, wound up putting up 7.5 points, 4.2 rebounds, and 3.5 assists per game at 6'10", and he really wound up saving his best for last, as you take a look at it pretty much from February 5th on. So last 11 games of the season, 8.5 points, 4.5 boards, 4.3 assists per game, and in that time span shot 52% from 3-point range overall, shot 35% from 3, very versatile piece for this team. I do think that he's going to be able to come in and he's going to be able to give this team some solid results. But with that said, they do wind up losing Jameer Young, who was Mr. Do-It-All from last season as well. So, and no doubt winds up hurting them. They do wind up bringing in Josh Aldrich, someone who was able to put up right around 4.5 rebounds per game when I was at USC Upstate last season. And when I was at USC Upstate, he was able to do a solid job while being able to give the team some scoring as well. This guy that is 6'7" is able to space out the floor a little bit. But what I think is going to be key for this team, being able to have Lusai Patterson be able to step up out there in the backcourt, as last season he was at Missouri State. And for Missouri State during the 2021-22 season, he was able to do a solid job, was a little bit of a starter, and was a little bit more of a defensive stopper for this team, but certainly someone that's able to give out the ball, is able to give this team a few assists per game. So I do think that that is going to be very key for the Charlotte team. And if Charlotte could just play a little bit of defense, because they do have a relatively slow style under the coach in Mr. Sanchez, I do think that it's going to lead to a little bit of a good result for Charlotte. So I've got them number 7 in my projector or finish. And number 6, I do have Louisiana Tech. You wind up losing your coach in Eric Conkle from last season, then Kenneth Lofton Jr., aka the Bartolo Colon of college basketball. That's going to hurt any team, but they do wind up hiring from within, so that way they wind up losing much less than they could have via the transfer portal. That winds up helping them out, and they still do have quite a bit of the backcourt from last season as well. So I do think that a lot of these guys coming back, being able to give some good production, I think that that's going to be very key. And you do have Keeson Willis, someone who shot just below 40% from three-point range a season ago. He was able to do a good job being able to put up a double-digit amount of points per game. That is going to be absolutely massive for this team. They don't necessarily bring in a lot via the transfer portal, so this is going to be largely the team that we wound up seeing from last season. And Isaiah Crawford, I think, is going to be absolutely massive as well, as this is someone that wound up having a lot of injuries the last few seasons in general. So being able to have a healthy Isaiah Crawford, I think, is going to be absolutely massive for this team. And then you take a look past that, Keandre Bullock, he's a top 100 junior college transfer. That should be able to help them out. Drayvon Mangum, he was able to give the team right around 9 points, 4.5 rebounds per game when he was at Radford a few seasons ago as well. So these are guys that should be able to step in, and they should be looking to some very big production. Talvin Hester is someone that has been with the program for quite a while, so I don't think that we're going to see any sort of a massive tempo change, and that's going to be big because David Green, someone that wound up chipping in 7.5 points, 3 boards per game last season, he's probably going to be having a big part of this team as well, along with Bullock, who I mentioned a little bit earlier, because he's a little bit of a do-it-all combo player at 6'6", 17.5 points, 7 boards, 3 assists per game. So that's going to be big. And you just wind up bringing back a guy like a Kobe Williams, who's able to average a little bit over 11 points, a little bit over a steal per contest. That's going to be boding well for this team as well. I do think that it's going to be a Louisiana Tech team that's going to be a little bit dominated on the glass, but at the same time, I do think that their backcourt and the overall defense that they're going to play under Hester going to be able to keep this team towards the middle of the conference. So I do have them at number 6 in terms of my projector or finish. And number 5, I'm going to be going with Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee is a team that made a whole lot of people a whole bunch of money last season, but they really add nothing via the transfer portal, which is a little bit befuddling. But with that said, Jalen Jordan, who wound up missing all of last season, he is going to be back in the fold. That is going to be big because he wound up shooting 43% from 3, 84% at the free throw line 2 seasons ago. That is going to be a nice coup for this team. Now, take a look at Middle Tennessee. It was a team in which a whole was greater than some of its parts. He really didn't have anyone other than Josh Jefferson, who his career has done really being able to give this team more than, say, 11 to 12 points per game. But Eli Lawrence, he was that guy. 11.9 points, 4.5 boards, 1.3 steals, 38.5% three-point shooter. Cameron Wesson, he was able to do a solid job as a six-man, 9 points, 3.5 boards, 2.5 assists. Certainly a lot of Swiss Army Knife players, as this was one of the better rebounding teams out there in Conference USA, despite the fact that DeAndre Dishman, with his 4.9 rebounds per game, he was one of the top guys for the team last season. And for Dishman, he was able to do a solid job giving out a little bit over 2 assists per game as well. Really, the main guy that they've got coming in is a gentleman by the name of Justin Porter. He comes in from Tyler Junior College. He wound up being able to give the team 17 points and 3.5 assists per game, shot 40% from 3-point range. They also bring in Tefel Leonard. He is someone that was also a junior college transfer as well. He was able to put up right around 8 points, and he was able to put up 2.3 blocks per contest in the last 11 games of the season last year as well. So you do have some guys for Middle Tennessee that are going to be able to keep this team afloat. I think that really the coaching in general at Middle Tennessee, it is top-notch. This is a bunch in which they do wind up losing their main scorer in Josh Jefferson from last season, but I mean, Josh Jefferson did wind up missing the final few games of the season last year, and they wound up being able to very nearly win the CBI. If it wasn't for UNC Wilmington coming back, they would have been able to take that down. Nico Medved winds up leading the team to 26 wins last season. I don't know if we're going to quite see 26 wins, but I still see a solid season in the future of Middle Tennessee. So I've got them number 5 in my projector or finish. And number 4, I've got Florida Atlantic. The 19 wins that they wound up getting last season, the second most in the history of this program. Dusty May, more like Dusty Rhodes, as he has been able to do a very solid job with his program. And you take a look at your top two, Elijah Martin along with Michael Forrest, both of these guys combined for 27 points per contest on over 5 made threes per game. You wind up having Forrest be able to do all 3 assists per game. Martin was able to chip in there a steal and a half and shot 40% from 3-point range himself. Now, I think a key for this team, Vladislav Gouldin, being able to really assert himself down low. You wind up putting up 7 points, 4 boards, right around a block per contest last season, though. Block and a half per game in the last, we're going to call it 13 or so games of the season last year. John L. Davis was able to do a nice job as a sixth man as well last season, wound up putting up right around 7 points per contest. Shot 33% from 3-point range, which that's relatively competent for him. Felt like he was getting stronger and stronger as the season wound up wearing on as well. As you take a look at what Davis was able to do towards the back half of the season, final 11 games, right around 9.5 points per contest on 40% 3-point shooting with 1.3 steals and 4.5 rebounds per game. And for FAU, despite the fact that they didn't wind up having that one dominant rebounder, they were able to do a very solid job of just having everyone being able to hold down the fort. And what is really going to be interesting as well is how the transfers wind up being able to fare with the team, as well as they bring in Dre Fuller Jr. along with Jalen Gaffney. Gaffney is someone that was at UConn, and his playing time was a little bit hit or miss the last few seasons. This last year, he only wound up putting up 4 points per contest. Season before, he wound up having right around 6 points per contest, shot 36.2% from 3-point range. This is someone that, at the Conference USA level, I think that he should be able to come in. I think that he should be able to do a very solid job with the team. And then for Dre Fuller, once again, he wound up being a guy that wound up seeing quite a few starts in his first 2 years at Central Florida, so he stays within state, 27 starts in those first 2 seasons, and from the 2019-20 to the 2020-21 season, wound up averaging 6.6 points per contest, 4 boards, 2 assists, steal per game. Now, never has been a guy that's necessarily going to shoot it from 3-point range as a 6'5", a little bit of a joker player, but he should be able to come in, and he should be able to help this team out a little bit on the glass. I do think that that is going to be a big boost to this backcourt, and Florida Atlantic, I can see them being a 21 team, and I think that they're going to be in for a relatively solid year. So I've got them number 4 in my projector finish. It's just so hard to be able to bust into the top 3 in this conference, and I could legitimately see this be a multi-bid league. I do think the North Grand is going to fall a little bit short of at-large consideration, but I've gotten a number 3 in my projector finish. Tyler Perry is back after he wound up averaging 13.5 points, 2.5 assists per contest, and as a sixth man, shot 41.5% from 3-point range. This guy was just a complete and utter fireball from 3-point range, and we've noticed that with North Texas, they've actually been able to land a few prospects via the transfer portal, like Jaime Wright, wound up coming in from Washington last season. Great expectations were expected there. He didn't wind up necessarily panning out, but this is a team that they do a good job of being able to develop from within, but I do think that this one is going to be able to work out. That'd be Kai Huntsberry. Huntsberry winds up coming in from Mary College, and when I was at Mary College last season, he was one of the best overall scorers at the D2 level last season, as he was able to put up 19.5 points, 4.5 boards, 4.3 assists, and a steal per game on 40% 3-point shooting. They also bring in Tyree Eady, 10.5 points, 5.3 boards, 2.5 assists, 38.5% 3-point shooter. North Texas, they are such a good team on defense. They gave up the fewest made threes of any team in all of college basketball. An opponent shot just 28.5% from 3-point range. That was 8th in all of college basketball. Reuben Jones is back. He was a big part of that defense. He shot right around 34.5% from distance, a little bit over 8 points per contest. Now, they do wind up losing some of their top guys from last season, as you're going to be without a guy that was able to be very impactful for them in Thomas Bell. But with that said, you also bring in Abu Usman. Usman last season was able to do a very solid job overall for the season. 10 points, 5.9 rebounds per game, but more like 11.5 points and 6.5 boards the final 19 games of the season. Aaron Scott is someone that was able to help this team out as well. He was able to grab right around 4 boards per game as a freshman as well. This is a Grant McCaslin coach team that is just absolutely amazing on defense, and I do think that he's going to be able to do a good job of having all these working parts be able to be very solid in this just tremendous defense that they've got. So at number 3, my projector finish finish, I'm going to be going with North Texas. And number two, we're going to be going with Western Kentucky because they've got figuratively and literally the biggest band in all of college basketball. That'd be Jamarian Sharp. 8.2 points, 7.6 rebounds, and I'm not even kidding when I say this, 4.6 blocks per contest. Yeah, that is hard to be able to match up with. And then you wind up bringing back Davion McKnight as well. McKnight, 16 points, 5.5 boards, 5.5 assists, 1.9 steals per game. Only player in the country last season that had at least 16 points, 5.5 rebounds, 5.5 assists, and more than 1.8 steals per game. He also wound up shooting right around 34% from three-point range. Now, Cameron Justice is out of eligibility. He wound up shooting right around 38% from three-point range, 14.5 points per contest. That's a little bit of a blow for the team. But Josh Anderson, one of the best players at being able to generate steals in all of college basketball, he is going to be back in the fold for this team. He was eighth among qualifying D1 players in terms of steals per game last season, 12.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 2.4 steals per contest. And this is a team that they're swinging for the fences in terms of the transfer portal. Christian Lander, Deontay Allen, both of these guys are former top 150 recruits, former four-star guys that they just didn't wind up panning out with. Lander, I feel like part of it is because he was one of those guys that wound up reclassifying a few seasons ago at Indiana. And Deontay Allen, well, he was just playing for Kentucky. You know what? It's hard to be able to see minutes over there, so that is completely understandable. And Jarius Hamilton, he's back after he wound up averaging 12.7 points and 5.5 boards per game, and two seasons ago was a very good three-point shooter, especially while he was at Maryland as well. The Hilltoppers, they are the most disciplined team in all of college basketball, 11.3 fouls per game. That was the fewest of any team in all of college basketball. They got much of the core back, and they wind up bringing in some talented transfers. I've got them number two in my projector finish, and even though I don't have them number one, I think that this is a team that when it's all said and done, they can fight for an at-large bid. And certainly if this team winds up losing in their conference tournament, they might be able to get an at-large bid. Number one, the UAB Blazers. At some point this year, I think that this team is going to be in the top 25. You bring back Jordan Jelly Walker, 20.5 points, 5 assists per game, 1.5 steals, shot 39.5% from 3 and 88% at the free throw line. And then on top of that, Trey Jamison, 7-footer that came in from Clemson, 7.5 points, 7.5 boards, 1.5 blocks per contest. You got the Brewer brothers coming in from East Tennessee State. Ladarius and Ty Brewer combined for 25.3 points, 12 boards, 2.6 steals per game. Ladarius, he's able to shoot right around 34% per three. He's a 6'5", a little bit of a joker player. Ty stands more around 6'9". Tavion Loven, he was able to give the team a little bit of a steal per contest. This is a UAB team that they were in the top 40 last year in both points scored and points allowed on a per possession basis. There was only a handful of teams that wound up having that moniker last season. They got an offensive rebound on 33.1% of their missed shots. That was in the top 30 in all of college basketball as well. You wind up bringing in Eric Gaines, who had 9 points, 2.9 assists, and 2.1 steals per game for LSU last season as well. Javion Davis, he's going to be entering in after he wound up spending some time at Alabama along with Mississippi State as well. I mean, the job that has been done by this coaching staff that Andy Kennedy has been able to assemble the last few years is nothing short of amazing. UAB, not just the number one team on my projector or finish for Conference USA, but legitimately a team that I believe when it's all said and done might be in the top 25 in all of college basketball. And that wraps things up for this Conference USA preview of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. A big thanks to Adrian Broaddus. Does a great job over there at 600 ESPN in El Paso. He does the show Minor Talk as well, all centered around the Utah Miners. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @JuneIn_D1. Keep in mind, letter CM, the name does not matter, size per usual. Please just send these into the timeline. Otherwise, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. I'm coming at you guys every single day on this podcast during the offseason news and notes and conference previews of college basketball once we get in season. Picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I'll chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools.
From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.